This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by TurbulenceTraining.com. Boost muscle growth and blowtorch body fat at TurbulenceTraining.com. Also by BlackStarLabs.com. You can save 10% when you use the code FIT10 at checkout. That's FIT10. And also by RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. High octane corrective exercise and performance enhancement at RobertsonTrainingSystems.com. On this week's episode of the FitCast, we talk with Scott Abel. And also, I mentioned that I'm going to talk about the Mike Boyle seminar, but we recorded something for that, and it didn't come out very well. We recorded it in the car, and it sounded pretty poor. So what we're going to do is instead we're going to talk about the Mike Boyle seminar on next week's show. I think we're going to be doing some kind of Thanksgiving special where we just get the gang back together. And then the week after that, we're going to have Mike Boyle on the show to talk about strengthcoach.com. And they also have a new podcast going on over there. So hope you enjoy the show. It's kind of a short one, but we will be back this upcoming weekend. I promise. I hope to have it up on Sunday. And I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you next time. Welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 73. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and with me is, first off, Jimmy Smith of JimmySmithTraining.com and also JimmySmithTraining.blogspot.com. I missed you, Jimmy, last week. I was a little FitCast deprived, but I'm glad.
I'm sorry about that.
Well, it wasn't really your fault. I think it was I canceled
is it
the
more
show.
It's more your fault than anybody.
Yeah, it was. But anyways, we get a great show lined up for you this week. This is pretty much going to be the first segment of the show because I'm going to be recording another segment in the future as we record this right now on my way back from the seminar that I'll be going to, Mike Boyle's Advanced Program Design Seminar, where I'm just going to discuss kind of what went on, and I will be hopefully talking with some of the other attendees, so hopefully you'll hear that in a little bit. But let's get to our guest this week. And Jimmy, do you want to introduce Scott? And I know, Scott, I'd really love, Scott, for you to start and talk a little bit about your history, because, I mean, you have a pretty dense history, man, and I know we'd love to hear about that. But Jimmy, actually...
Yeah, don't have the bio in front of me. You gotta let me know when you're gonna have me introduce
Well,
people.
Actually, I looked at Scott's bio, and I was hoping Scott could just give it to us because it's, like I said, it's a pretty dense bio, man.
Okay, this is weird for me hearing that. Every time I'm asked for a bio, I always, depending on what day you get me, I want to say something different. So I guess that is pretty dense. Been around. I was educated at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, up here in Canada, and did my undergraduate and graduate work there, and received several scholarships for I guess being a pretty smart guy. And during that time, I was involved in bodybuilding, and I think one of the fortunate things was, because of being sort of isolated in an area at a time where bodybuilding wasn't big, I didn't get all absorbed into the subculture of it, which now 20 years later is a good thing. I've been all over the world doing this stuff. I've been at the highest levels. I've trained the best of the best. I've turned down the best of the best in terms of training. So it's funny when I hear other experts or people that call themselves experts in bodybuilding. It's always ironic to me that I've never seen them at any of the shows, so they're reported to have trained all these people, and yet I never see them anywhere, so it's leaves me scratching my head a lot of the times. But that's chalk that one up to the internet, I guess. But I don't know how much that has to do with my bio. I'm an old man now, retired, and leaving it up to you young guys to sort of take the ball and run with it, because it's a different industry than when I came up. Knowledge was, people were hurting for knowledge, and now there's information everywhere, information, disinformation, misinformation, flat out lies. So to be an expert now really takes some kind of being able to cut through all the bricks of bull to get to the heart of it. So, you know, mm-hmm. it's good to see guys like Jimmy and whatnot that actually have a handle on what's real and what isn't, because as far as I can see, a lot of that is what expertise is these days, is just sort of cutting through the crap, because there's so much crap. Yeah. So, you know, and you know, basically what is expertise, and, you know, in terms of having a dense bio, well, I think it's a combination of knowledge and experience. And I think what is unfortunate these days is that information is getting passed off as knowledge, and information is not knowledge. It's just information. It's a means to knowledge, and knowledge is not wisdom. So, you know, the combination of knowledge and experience usually leads to wisdom. And I think that's where real expertise, you know, lies. It's not in the sort of access to triviality. You know, game shows like Jeopardy and stuff have the whole world believing that trivia equals knowledge. And that is really true in our industry, because I see a lot of that, you know, people that can tell you the, you know, the inside scoop on anything, but they have no sort of grasp of context. You know, it's all content driven. So, you know, I mean, that's way off topic. It has nothing to do with my bio, but, you know, yeah, in other words, I've been around a long time. So
I'll drop a couple of things about Scott real quick. I was actually just asked about him the other day on, I believe it was the Muscular Development Forum. So I have a thread there, and someone said, you know, what do you think of Scott and his methods? And basically, you know, what I think is, I've had the great pleasure of knowing Scott on more of a personal level, so we do exchange emails pretty frequently. And I answered, you know, in Muscular Development, I said, every time I talk to him, every time we get an email, they're eye-opening conversations. He's like a bodybuilding dictionary, more or less. And I mean, Scott is correct, and this is not to, you know, blow smoke up his ass, but he has trained Mr. Olympians. He has trained some people that you will recognize on TV if we said names. So, you know, if you've been in the bodybuilding circle and haven't heard of Scott, then you're not in the bodybuilding circle.
Yeah.
So I have a ton of respect for Scott, ton of respect for what he does, his knowledge base. So
thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. It's weird when I always hear I'm being asked about on different forums. I never knew there were so many forums out there. So it's kind of strange to me when I'm always made aware of it. But anyway, sure. Go ahead.
Scott, I was actually going to quickly mention, I mean, you have a pretty thorough site, and you also have a pretty active forum. Do you just want to tell the audience a little bit about that before we get started?
You know, my site's been alive for a while. I train people all over the planet. I've always said that, you know, people sort of confuse proximity with expertise. So they think, you know, if there's someone that's not available to them in person, then they're, you know, they can't help them. Whereas, you know, expertise has nothing to do with proximity. And I've been training people all over the globe for most of my career. So as long as someone is online, a true expert can, especially these days with, you know, pictures and stuff, an expert can help them out. And my forums is just as international. There's people on the forums from all over the world, and you know, some pretty smart cookies compared to, I mean, myself, I don't take part in other forums. I don't go on them. But from what I can tell, a lot of them are a lot of inflated egos and a lot of chest pounding and not a whole lot of meat and potatoes. And I'm fortunate. I don't know how or why, but my forums has a lot of pretty smart people on them. So, you know, it's a good place for good information, and it's a very supportive group. And it just sort of has sort of created that, you know, like attracts like. So more and more people with a lot of good things to say are coming on board that forums, and it's just sort of snowballed. So, you know, again, it's just right place at the right time, I guess. But, you know, I'd like to think I had a little bit to do with it. But, you know, and on my website is a little bit of track history, and I just got some gallery pictures back, so I'll be posting some pictures that I thought I lost. And there's some guest posing on me when I did some guest posing back in the day, you know, everywhere from, I think I got a routine on there from 1987 right up until, you guys are probably like 3 years old, right up till, you know, when I retired, I guest posed at the Toronto Pro Show, I think it was 04. So I have routines on there from just showing that I could walk my talk. And, you know, and there's nothing worse than someone who advocates a methodology that doesn't show in them in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, it's I think it's important that someone can walk their talk. So, you know, I just put that on there for that reason. So, yeah, so the website, I guess, you know, it's not as good as others because I'm not very web savvy, but I think the content is is pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some good discussions there on a lot of Scott's methods. I mean, I own a couple of his products, but my favorite one is the science behind the cycle diet. That's kind of was the first diet to do what a lot of people are starting to come out on the market with now as new. And Scott's been doing that for a couple of years, you know. And we've talked about that a lot, Scott. Just let's give, because we know the cycle diet is way, way in depth, but just if you can give a really quick overview of the cycle diet, what it is and how people can benefit from it, really.
One of my clients about 8 years ago coined it the have your cake and eat it too diet. It was a diet for people that want to have a real life. You know, they don't want to be married to, portion control and stuff 24/7. So it was a diet that takes a little bit of the edge off psychologically, in that when you do make it to a metabolic profile where you can have cheat days and they won't do any damage, that you don't have to worry about, you know, portions or you know, this much fat versus this much carb. It's basically whatever you want you can have, and you will benefit from it. Rather than having it sabotage your diet, it actually lends to the benefit of promoting lean body mass. So that was the genesis of it, and it was built actually around just having my eyes open through a bodybuilding career where, you know, most guys would peak a day or two after a show, and then most people would take the edge off after a contest and be able to eat uncontrollably for several days before it would have any kind of detrimental effect to them. So I kind of said, well, there's something going on here. Let's take a bigger look and see if this can't be, portrayed over long term and see what the results or consequences would be. And, as I suspected, it was a beneficial thing in many ways, like way too, you know, it would take too long to run them down here. But basically the cheating on your diet when you're in the right metabolic profile is the exact right thing to do. So, you know, it takes a whole lot of the guilt and stuff away from that and feeling like you've, failed your diet, rather than realizing that, you know, sometimes it can actually help you. So, but yeah, you know, it was a very strange thing for me, without going off too on a tangent. When it first came, I mean, I've been doing it for about 20 years, and I had a few calls, as I mentioned, on the DVD from people who were actually researching leptin and stuff, who were just basically asking me questions. And I was like, well, I have no idea. And they said, well, man, you're like 20 years ahead of, you know, what we're just finding out now. And, you know, I was very flattered by that. But it was weird, because when I first came out with it, I was just sort of, you know, hung by the largest yardarm for saying what I was saying. And now, like you said, Jimmy, it seems like everywhere I go, everyone's ripping it off and calling it something else. I just picked up a magazine the other day in the store, and someone had renamed it. Basically, you know, when you invent something, you know the principles behind it, and you know your own words, so I can tell when it's actually my stuff that's being ripped off. So it's like, this is now the third or fourth form I've seen it in, and I guess imitation is a form of flattery, but it's just weird. When it first came out, I was attacked and crucified for everything I had to say, and now it seems to be the in thing to do. So it just shows you that, you know, knowledge sometimes is circular. So, you know, what is vogue sometimes is, you know, presented as, you know, what is right is actually currently what's in vogue. And then something will go in and out of style. But, you know, I'd prefer to stick with just whatever works, you know.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question, actually, about your cycle diet, about clients that are on it. Because if people still aren't familiar with it, it deals with leptin manipulation. How's the cognitive performance of people that are on that diet? Because I know a lot of times when people go on the traditional low carbs diet, you know, or they'll have the one cheat day, but they won't be in a super comp mode like you get your clients in. How's their cognitive performance on it with your clients? Do they find they can still kind of like, oh wow, like I'm dieting, but I'm not ready to you know, eat my arm?
Yeah, well, it varies. I mean, I don't want anyone, when you're ready to eat your arm, you're in an absolute caloric deprivation state, which I explain on the DVD. And you never want to be in absolute deprivation, because that's when you have metabolic shutdown and, you know, BMR shutdown and things like that. So you always want to be in a relative deficit that's close to absolute, but not quite there. Now, you know, there's different levels of emotional maturity involved. So, you know, what some people think is intolerable on a diet, other people find, you know, just great and perfect. So, you know, there's always going to be individual variants, but Most people are fine with, cognition. I mean, I've been doing it 20 years and had to write articles and do lectures and travel. And, you know, I've never had a problem with, massive brain farts while I'm trying to talk or something because I'm hungry. But it does require expertise. I mean, people send me clips and stuff from people talking about my cycle diet on other forums, and it's just, what are you talking about? You know, they're talking about juice fasting and all this stuff. It's like, not part of my stuff at all. So, again, it's a matter of perception. You know, a lot of people buy the DVD and then, you know, they want to undertake it themselves. So what they experience, I can't really say, is true to the cycle diet if they haven't applied it correctly. But there should be no, down regulation of brain function if you're dieting correctly. That just shouldn't happen. Sure. I always say to people, if you're dreaming about food, then you're not eating enough.
I guess that's true, when you really look at it. Now with that cycle diet, have you seen big decreases in muscle mass? Because a lot of times when people will diet down, people seem they want to rush things. They don't want to wait to 12 weeks. So they'll increase their activity, they'll drop their calories, they will lose substantial amount of muscle mass. What are you seeing? Yeah. Are you guys holding on to their size?
Well, I mean, all you have to do is go to the client section on my website and click on my clients, and you'll see some pretty massive dudes. I got guys now, there's a whole thread on my site just about what they eat on their cheat days because it's insane. When you're in a super comp mode, how fast your body can process food and demand more is pretty, it's actually even fun to watch. I mean, it's not the point of doing it by any means. No one should be losing muscle mass. I mean, first of all, you have to have the mass in order to lose it. A lot of people take a lot of things for granted about this stuff. And, there's a difference between being lean and being skinny. And, I always say you can't sculpt a pebble. So, you got these guys with, zero muscle to actually lose. And they start, with deprivation diets. I mean, of course, what's going to happen? They're going to sacrifice any little muscle they do have just because they don't have enough stored, to hold on to. It's like I say with this stuff, it's like building a house, Maintaining a house once it's built is one thing, but building a house from the ground up is, you've got to have labor power, you've got to have materials, you've got to have tools. That's a pretty high metabolic cost if you want to liken it to building a house. But once a house is built, then the maintenance of it doesn't require nearly as much. So if it's done correctly, you should be able to – the whole goal is to gain, mass as you do it. But I think the industry leads to a whole lot of misunderstandings about just what is possible in terms of gaining lean mass on a diet. Sure. I mean, it's just through the supplement industry we're led to believe in miracles, and that's just not going to happen. But if there is something that is – close to that, I would say the cycle diet is it for people that are, in the right metabolic profile. It's not for everybody, that's for sure. So, I don't want to say it's the be-all, end-all diet for everybody because that would be misleading. So,
well, I mean, here's the issue with the big magazines, with the big bodybuilding magazines. They're photographing guys 2 or 3 days, actually probably even sooner, but right after a contest. And the issue is they're telling people that don't have enough muscle mass to begin with that you can hold on to muscle while you diet. So just worry about getting lean. And that's why we see all these people that if they show their abs in the mirror in the gym, they look good, but they don't have any muscle on them. I don't really know where muscle went out of style. I still don't get it, and it baffles me. And that's why, I have – the project, Scott, that you were on with me and so many other great people were on, but muscle didn't go out of style. So let's talk about leg training, because you actually personally sent me a picture of one of your clients' legs, and they were unflexed and they were enormous legs. Lot of people just can't seem to get their legs to grow. Now, generally, it's one of two reasons. They just don't train them hard enough, or they just, don't train them enough because they don't like training legs. What have you kind of find to be the things that hold people back from actually getting their legs to grow? Because people kind of think legs are such a mythical body part.
Yeah, let's just lose the first two groups that you described, because I'm not interested in helping them anyway. Yeah. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. If you're not amenable to sweating a little bit, then, go take up tiddlywinks. Sure. for people that want to make the games, though, one of the thing is they're being lied to. You know, we got paradigm blindness going on in this industry that is ridiculous proportions. And one of the biggest lies is that, you know, to train legs, you know, train them heavy. And, you know, I hate that word, but they use the word heavy to relate to how much load is on a bar. And for legs, after, you know, I'm in my third decade of experience, if you want to build legs, then it's not necessarily the amount of overload, it's the duration of overload. Because of all the common origin and insertion points and muscles of the legs, they're quite capable of sustaining overload for a long time. So to do short rep sets, you know, 4 to 6 reps, isn't going to build your legs. It's just not going to do it. So with innervation training, the whole idea is that if you understand the nervous system, then, you know, 10 reps is twice as hard as 5, and 20 reps is twice as hard as 10. Whereas other people who are misled to this whole quantification thing are led to believe that 10 reps is twice as light as 5, and 20 reps is twice as light as 10, and that's just not true. So basically, it's a mindset going into training, and they don't really understand, you know, what it takes to build big legs, which is a ton of volume both within a set and within a workout. So it's just being missed. And, you know, I've seen the best of the best train, and I've seen the loads varied from absolutely ridiculously light to amazingly heavy. But you wouldn't know it by looking at both pairs of legs, you know, which one belonged to whom. So, you know, it was always based in terms of overload being accomplished in a certain plane and range of motion for a specified duration of time rather than amount of overload. I mean, if it was true that whoever lifted the most had the biggest muscles, then every power lifter would be bigger than every bodybuilder. And it's just not the way, you know, no one could match Tom Platz's thighs. And, you know, I used that example in an article I wrote. You know, I knew Fred Hatfield back in the day, and he's the first man to squat 1,000 pounds, and you wouldn't even know he was an athlete if you walked up to him in his heyday, let alone, you know, the fact that he could squat so much weight. So it was basically how much duration of stress your muscles can handle in a specific plane and range of motion for a specified time will determine the amount of growth, and that is unrelated to load. So, you know, as I always say, your body doesn't know how much, your muscles don't know how much weight it's lifting. Your muscles know how much stress it's under. And that's a huge difference. It's a huge variance. So, you know, we got to get out of this whole, this rep range is for this and this rep range is for that. And, you know, we're only capable of this much volume. And you know, that's just so arbitrary. So I don't know. Hopefully that answers, you know, a little bit of your question. But the answer is volume. You know, people used to come up to see us in Toronto, and, you know, it was kind of like famous back in the early 90s. And people would come in from the States, and, you know, we'd be doing legs and basically have to step around them because they couldn't even get off the floor after 5 or 6 sets of doing my stuff versus what they were led to believe. And, you know, people would be like, well, you know, welcome to innervation training. And, you know, these massive athletes are laying on the floor. They can't even get up, you know, so you just from having to do the volume, you know, and learning that, you know, you can get 20 reps out with the same weight you can get, you know, you think you're done at 10, you know. So it's basically about intensity, whereas right now the industry is leading people to believe it's about strength in terms of load. And strength has a lot to do with just more than load. And intensity should be the deciding factor, not necessarily load. I also came by that because I'm not or was not very strong. So compared to other people, you know, I could compare my body parts with anybody's, but I certainly couldn't lift as much as them. So the equivalent factor was intensity rather than strength. So,
everyone should check out, just to follow up on this discussion, the Ultimate Legs program, that Scott's article that was on T-Nation a week or so ago. Definitely, you got to check that out, and hopefully most of you already have.
You know, just to follow up on that, there was someone alluded to, made me aware of a comment on there. It was somebody basically commenting on the article saying, you know, they wouldn't try it because they wouldn't want their weights to go down in their squats because of the way I laid out the workout. And that is illustrative of exactly what I'm trying to say in the point I just made. in terms of the mindset is so limited to think, instead of thinking of your weights going down in one rep range, you should look at it like your weights going way up in another rep range. Mm-hmm. But because it was ultra high reps of 50 and 100 reps, all they could see was less weight on the bar, and they didn't understand the demands in terms of intensity. So, you know, that sort of went right over their head because it's so drummed into their head that it's all about load, load, load. And, you know, just not true.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of an issue people have, though, is that they will, especially in a bodybuilding context or, you know, wanting to look good, they'll throw more weight on the bar. And I agree, you know, overload is something that we need. But at the same time, we have to know what we need to do, and we also have to know what we're doing. So, you know, we have to kind of pull back. And I think that's an issue that people don't have, is that everybody wants to focus on more and more one way of overload. But doing 50 reps when you typically train with 8 is going to be an overload mechanism. Okay, that's kind of what we're not understanding.
Yeah, when you go to failure, absolutely.
Sure, sure. And I think that's not kind of, you know, in the, you wrote an article, you know, 5 things that drive you nuts. And one point that I really agree with you on is eating less on off days. So why don't you just talk about what you kind of sum up what you said in the article, what you think of it a little bit.
Well, I just all of a sudden I was being exposed to, you know, all these other experts and what they write and what they had to say, and there was this common thread that for some reason they were advocating eating less on your off days from training because you're not burning the calories in the gym, therefore, you know, you don't need them. And again, this just, you know, is all about content versus context. It's, our bodies don't work on a 24-hour clock, even though we do. They respond to a 24-hour clock in that, you know, our bodies adopt to sleep patterns and whatnot. But in terms of you know, super compensation and glycogen recovery and storage and whatnot, you know, you need to acknowledge that your body is going to take 24, 48, 72 hours to replenish, you know, from stimulus, depending on how consistent, constant, and demanding that stimulus is. So to eat less on off days is sort of to always keep the fuel tank on empty, which is not a good thing when you're trying to build muscle. So, you know, it just flies in the face of common sense. Yet, you know, this is one of those, a little knowledge being a dangerous thing. And it's another one of those things I talk about where, you know, content is trumping context, or where now content is being presented as context. And, you know, that's a huge, huge mistake. So, you know, the cycle diet wouldn't work if it was true. I mean, my people eat their cheat days on an off day for the simple reason that they can eat more if they don't have training getting in the way. So, you know, the whole idea is to eat more to store more. And whether that's amino acids or, it's, you know, glycogen storage or whatnot, it's to store energy nutrients for use, for repair and growth. So if you're never restoring and never replenishing, then you certainly can't you know, you're never going to get that growth, and growth is a, you know, a huge metabolic demand, and it's not going to get accomplished if all the right indicators aren't present in the body at one time, and you can't do that by keeping yourself always on a consistent level of calorie intake.
And I think that's kind of the issue is that the media portrays, you know, everybody wants to be skinnier and ripped, and the thing is, people say, I'm not training, I can't eat as many carbs. You have to realize what you did the day before, as you just kind of alluded to, Scott. That's a misconception. And another thing you talk about is, you say you don't eat carbs before bed. I've had clients for years. I've had myself personally. I love ingesting a small amount of carbohydrate before bed. I think you have the typical media recommendation of don't eat after X amount of time. Yeah. And then you have people just being scared. Everybody's scared of adding a little bit of fat. Go ahead.
It's you know, once you set up a metabolic profile to be fat burning, then, you know, you're going to have to go out of your way to put on fat. It's just people don't want to go through what it takes to get in a fat burning metabolic mode. But once you do, you know, it's hard to get fat. But it's funny, this whole thing with carbs now. We have, you know, understanding carbs now is supposed to be rocket science, and it's just not true. I mean, I had two ladies I was talking to yesterday, and you know, they had the whole don't eat after a certain time. Well, what ends up happening now? Well, you know, I'm good during the day and I'm eating at night. And I said, well, let me guess, you're on a low carb diet. Well, yeah, how'd you know? And what are you eating at night? Oh, Halloween candy and, you know, this and that. I said, well, you know, the answer to that is simple. For one, they don't think they're supposed to eat before bed. So I told them, if you ate dinner and then knew you were going to eat again 3 hours later just before you went to bed, then you're less likely to eat any junk in between because, you know, I got a meal coming up. So, yeah. You know, it's a psychological thing that way. And then having carbs throughout the day, you know, doesn't create that whole, you know, blood sugar, you know, rebound kind of, you know, eating, binge eating that people get when they finally get to sit down during the day and realize just how hungry and unfed they are. So this whole carb tolerance is now being, newly defined in terms of sort of, I would call carb hysteria. So, you know, people are saying, oh, you know, I'm carb intolerant and low carb diets really work for me. I just can't stick to them. Well, if you can't stick to a diet, then it's not working for you. You know, yeah. So and sometimes you need to explain the obvious to people. You know, a diet has to be functional. And for me, that means two things. One, it has to serve the body. And two, it has to be sustainable. So, you know, this is great telling people all about, you know, veggie this and veggie that and carbs only before and after training. But it's not very realistic to a good portion of the population out there. So and, it you know, without taking into account biofeedback, you know, you're just speaking in huge generalities that don't apply to that specific client who needs what, you know, they need to do for them, not what, you know, you say in general terms. So, you know, this whole carb thing really, really irksome to me that, you know, this stuff is coming out and, you know, you can't eat this and you can't eat that. It's like, you know, it's funny because, you know, I've been making champions for, I mean, my third decade and they're all eating all the stuff they're, you know, according to the experts, you know, you're not allowed to eat. So, you know, if I didn't have any self-confidence, I'd be thinking, wow, I really don't know anything, you know? So, I mean, yeah. My people live on potatoes and rice cakes and things like that. So, you know, you got to have flavor in a diet in order for a diet to be sustainable. So, you know, I just, that's just true. And you have to have starchy carbs for anyone who's training with any degree of intensity. So, you know, a lot of these people are just starving and, you know, the results are showing because they're saying things like, well, I'm good for a couple of days, you know, well then, you know, that kind of diet consistency is going to get you nowhere. So, you know,
sure.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Scott, earlier in the show, you talked briefly about supplements, but one question that we get a lot for our guests is, usually just what are the supplements that you tend to recommend for your clients? So, like, what do you really believe in?
I don't. You can skip that topic right away.
That's a good point, yeah,
it's you know, I mean, a lot of people won't even print my stuff because it's not supplement friendly. But yeah. You know, 90% of the time for 90% of the people, the right diet and training approach is more than sufficient. The problem is most people assume they're part of that 10%. So, you know, I mean, my endorsement contract with supplement companies has been for, they hire me to do their BNAs. So, you know, if the products were standalone products, then they wouldn't need people like me to dial people in for before and after shoots.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just common sense. Can a supplement, you know, be in addition to something? Well, yeah, sure. There's, you know, there's exceptions to every rule. But, you know, just what I'm seeing, people are spending hundreds of dollars on wishful thinking. And, you know, they should spend that money on expertise is my opinion. So, you know, there's nothing special about anything out there that I've seen. I mean, I even advocated on a couple of occasions for people to take 12 weeks and go off all the supplements they're ingesting. And be honest about their assessment, look in the mirror, assess their workout, you know, workout assessments and biofeedback. And if there's a difference after 12 weeks, go back on them,
mm-hmm.
you know, but do the 12 week experiment and see if you really, you know, stay on the same program and whatnot and, you know, see if there's a difference. I think people would be pretty surprised. So, I'm not a big fan. So, you know, and, you know, when you know the behind the scenes of most when you're behind the scenes of an industry, mm-hmm. I guess it would be like, you know, if you're behind the scenes in Hollywood, then you know a different Hollywood than everyone else does. And when you're behind the scenes, for as long as I've been behind the scenes in this industry, then I know a different thing than most consumers know about, you know, supplementation and whatnot. So, you know, I mean, I'm not full bore against supplementation, but the consumer perception of supplements is, you know, gains can't be had without them. And that's mm-hmm. just not true. You know, that's just ridiculous. So, you know, that's my take. You know, I'm sure 90% of experts disagree with me, but, you know, my clients get consistent results, you know, without them. So, you know, nothing against any supplement company. Just that's just my take.
I think that the issue is consistency, and that's kind of the big word. It's even just in training itself, is people just aren't consistent enough. It's sit down, you know, before you want to go to the gym, plan out a program, you know, for X amount of times, and just be consistent with it. The problem is now is we have such information overload. There's every day there's new articles coming out, and there's new magazines every month that people are reading, and no one's kind of processing the big rocks, because when you look at all the programs that are out there, most of the good ones by most people that know what they're talking about are pretty consistent. You know, they have the same kind of methods there, and then I don't think most people do. You know, and that's a sad thing.
And it leads to, I think I talked to this about this with you before, Jimmy. It leads to what we call pinball training. You know, new workout comes out, so they try that, and Jimmy comes out and says X, so they go and try X until Scott Abel comes out and says Y, so they go do Y. They haven't even given X a chance yet. So, you know, it leads to a lot of what we call pinballing back and forth, and everyone's looking for the capital T-H-E answer, whereas it's the small 98% commitment to that one program that's properly devised for a given amount of time is what's going to produce results. You know, the other thing is just unrealistic expectations that are marketed to people through magazine hype and supplements.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, in normal sport, it takes 10,000 hours of training to get to a world-class level if you're genetically gifted to even get there to begin with. 10,000 hours. So if you're training an hour a day, 5 days a week, do the math. You know, the fact is people are, you know, they're writing me with, well, in 12 weeks I want to look like this or that. And, you know, they don't have the background to, you know, accomplish it, you know. And even if without, let's take skill out of it for, okay, 10,000 hours to become, you know, Jerry Rice or somebody. Let's take the skill component out in bodybuilding. Let's cut that in half because there's no skill factor. That's still 5,000 hours. So at 5 hours a week of training, how long is that going to take? And, you know, like you said, when you combine consistency and commitment to that equation, people are just totally unrealistic. You know, they'll write with it, well, it's been 8 weeks. You know, where's the magic? Sure. You know, the magic is in 8 years. So, you know, it's hard to get people to appreciate that these days because we live in that quick fix, you know, environment where, you know, steroids, GH, you know, supplements, before and afters, 12-week programs, you know, just it's a billion-dollar industry based on fakery and you know, selling people what people want to hear. So, you know, the fact is, like anything else, you get out of it what you put into it for as long as you put into it. So, you know, that's a hard pill for people to swallow. They don't want to hear that. They want to hear, you know, magic new training and supplement program and, you know, check out these real world results, you know, that kind of thing.
So, yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to sound disheartening to people, but, you know.
I mean, oh, no, it's reality, though. I mean, people have to. You have to train hard. You have to train. There's a difference between working out and training. Most people are working out as opposed to training. When you're training, you have an end goal. You know, you look at any world-class fighter, and they're training for a fight. And I think that's what, especially people that aren't really, because athletes are a little different because you have to factor in sports seasons and, you know, a number of games. But mm-hmm. when you're training to look good, like a lot of people listening to this, you have one event you want to look good for. Pick an event. You know, most people will tell you, you know, New Year's Eve, Memorial Day, Labor Day, if you're in the States. Well, there's 3 days. Pick those days and train for them, though. I mean, it may sound funny, but it's the truth. And if people took that point of view, I think we'd see a lot of better physiques.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, I forget who said it, but there's too much goal setting and not enough goal getting. You know,
yeah.
Everyone's
yeah.
setting goals and no one's going out and doing. You know, I say on my forums, it's a very strange phenomenon to me and very sad to me that even at this point, you know, I'm a retired old man. I can't go like I used to go. I can still go. But no matter what gym I go to now, almost every time I work out, someone will say to me, man, I'm tired just watching you. And it's just like, man, you know, hard work is that foreign to people now that no matter where I am in the world, that when you're working hard in the gym, people look at you sideways like, what is that about? You know,
yeah.
And you're thinking, well, this is about what it actually takes. You know, you can't sit on the bike with the TV on and, you know, one hand on your magazine and think you're doing anything. You know, so this is just, you know, common sense after 20 years of work. Plus, you know, there's something invigorating about leaving it on the gym floor. You know, there's something invigorating about having to lie there for 10 minutes before you can actually leave because you just can't focus on getting to the door right now, you know. And that's just lost on this generation. They just don't relate to that concept at all. So, you know, I can remember leg workouts with people and, you know, flying in and, you know, doing a set of legs and they can't even walk to the fountain afterwards without their legs giving out from under them. I mean, you don't see that anymore. I see guys doing a set of squats and they can stand between sets and chat. It's like, what are you kidding me? You know? So, you know, you're talking about different levels of intensity and you can sell people, you know, whatever they want to hear to, you know, to people that are really into training, they're going to love hearing this kind of thing. But to people who are into wanting to hear, you know, that they only have to train 3 days a week for half an hour, then they're going to tune out to this stuff. But, you know, the reality is after 20 years, you know, well, almost 30 years, but this is what it takes. You know, there's no, you know, don't want to apologize for having to say it takes hard, consistent effort. You know, and it takes correct effort too. It's not just about, you know, working hard. I mean, there's a lot of people working hard on ridiculous programs. So, you know, it's a combination is expertise and hard work. And you can't have, you know, you need to have really have both. If you're going to fast forward any of it, then you need both.
Yeah.
Oh, Scott, we're actually running out of time, but man, I really want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been I mean, it's
that
great.
Was quick.
Yeah, it went pretty fast. I mean, it's great to have. It seems like a totally different view from what some of the other guests that we've had on the show, and it is really eye opening. It's great to talk to you, and I really hope we can have you on again soon in the future.
Dad, I'd love to because I don't feel like I actually said anything yet.
Yeah,
I thought, you know, I was just sort of introducing whatever we were going to get to, but that's me. I tend to drone on about, you know, you give me something to go on about, and I usually will. So sorry about that.
Well, I think that's good. It's a little bit of a teaser for everyone else out there for when Scott comes on again. But Scott, I think we should really have you on again soon and see if we can really go at it next time with the interview. So sorry we got kind of crunched with time as I gotta head out, but it was great to at least have you on for this short time.
Awesome. Good. I appreciate it, guys, and yeah, hopefully people will find it interesting and, you know, whatever capacity, and, you know, we'll hear from them either on one of our websites. So
Sure.
I'd love to be back. And you know, I don't really know what the knowledge base is out there because I don't really follow what everyone else is saying too much. Mm-hmm. As I've told you, Jimmy, I don't really subject myself to that, so I don't really know what, you know, is the how other people speak or what their philosophies are, so, you know, or methodologies. But yeah, I'd love to come on and explain a little more about what I do. So anytime, just let me know, and I appreciate you helping me out with the technical stuff.
Absolutely. We will we'll wrap up this interview, but hopefully you'll be hearing a little bit more from us. The show probably isn't over just yet. And make sure to check out thefitcast.com. We'll have links for Scott's site, and also check out Scott's forum. Some great discussions on there. And we'll also have links for his DVD that we talked about, and I think that's something I'm going to be picking up very soon as well. So
yeah, it's not that expensive, and for the information you get, and first of all, real quick, I know, Kev, you're out of time. I want to talk about people that say things are too expensive. It's not what the product costs you. It's what you know, won't get out of it and how much it costs you. How can you afford not to have that? Like, if you're looking at dieting information, mm-hmm. and it's getting to be that time of year now, it's November, December, people are getting – fat getting big, but if you have a DVD like Scott's, literally lays out what to do to diet and get lean and hold on to your muscle. Like, I don't care how much that is. I paid a lot more money for other Scott's products. They've all been worthwhile. I would just tell people to pick that one up in a heartbeat.
Oh, appreciate that. Thank you.
That's an honest opinion. I think it's fantastic. So
great. Huh? I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna
have to do more.
Definitely. Well, I'm gonna let you guys go, and I'm gonna get headed out to the seminar, and hopefully we'll see everyone else in a couple minutes. And again, don't forget to check out Scott's site and thefitcast.com. And until next time, we'll just see you later. Take care, everyone.